Shall my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I told Brack in the day before to read that scripture. I said, we're going to go after the big one today. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have testing. It's the word for trial, testing, temptation. And it's true, all of us too. We live in a fallen world, and every one of us have experienced suffering of some kind. Some issues of some kind. And for many of us, they're different. They have different flavors. But there's for sure one thing all of us have dealt with, and that is somebody hurting you or disappointing you or betraying you and having to deal with the issue of forgiveness. And I think it's the thing that we have to be able to have victory over, unforgiveness, more than any other issue, because the enemy will use that to stop us in our tracks in the Lord. When Jesus had his last Bible study with his disciples, the Upper Room Discourse, beginning in John 13, he talks about abiding. That's really his last Bible study is all about them being in him and him being in them and him living out his life through them. And that's going to be better for them if he goes away, because he'll send his Holy Spirit. When he sends his Holy Spirit, he's actually going to be living inside of them to live his life out through them. But he starts off the Upper Room Discourse. He kind of lays a foundation as if, you know, and the connection here is not haphazard. The Lord knows what he's doing. There's a sequence behind it all. As if he's up front saying, this issue of washing each other's feet, forgiveness, forgiving each other, is so significant that what I'm about to tell you about abiding in Christ, this is going to be the one issue you're going to have to deal with more than any other thing. And if in your abiding in Christ, you can't trust him for this, then you're going to be dead in the water. And so that's why it starts off with him washing their feet and then demonstrating to them and saying, you've got to do this to each other. And you'll be blessed if you do. This Matthew passage is, to me, it's always been sort of amazing scripture. In verse 27, it says, the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. And so the whole section is about compassion. And then unfortunately, there's this slave who owes all this money. He's about to get thrown into prison. He asks for mercy. His master gives him mercy and forgives him this huge debt. And then the same one who's been forgiven a huge debt has someone who owes him a little bit, and the one who owes him a little bit asks for mercy, and the one who's been forgiven much won't give him mercy even for a little thing. Instead, throws him into prison. And then when the original master hears about it, what had happened, then he deals with him. And the idea that one of the foundational aspects of not being able to forgive people is forgetting how much we've been forgiven ourselves. That we're here because of the mercy of God. Not just that we're not going to go to hell, that's just the mercy of God. I mean, you know, but we get offended because we think things aren't just or it's not fair what people have done. But it's not fair that we're not going to hell, because that's what all of us have earned. And we're not. And the fact that he forgives you and me over and over again as we walk this walk with him, he washes our feet again and again. He forgives us again and again. He believes in us. He calls us forth, you know, to be the new creation that we are. And so that's why the scripture says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And nothing offends the heart of God more than a recipient of mercy unwilling to give away mercy. That's why the scripture says, freely you receive, freely give. The only thing that you and I ever have to give that carries an anointing is what we've received freely. And all of us have freely received mercy. All of us have freely received grace again and again before the Lord. And that's the thing that grieves his heart and offends his heart the most, is when people who've been forgiven so much, so often, won't forgive others. An interesting thing about this, the consequences are, verse 32 says, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that he owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you. And he's talking to, this is a discipleship group, to you, if you do not forgive his brother from your heart, your hearts. Not forgiving from your head. It's not about going to the little study, or you went to the little inner healing thing, and they gave you the little thing that you go through when you forgive people. Like, you say it this way. It's like forgiving, that's just like forgiveness by memorization. That's just nonsense. It's a place where it has to come from the inside, out of your union with Christ. Out of his, you know, Jesus will ask the question, can I, Jesus, have forgiveness for this person and you not? And if you say, well, yeah, then you just said, well, then we're not going to walk as one. But if you in here are one, at some point you got to surrender that and go, well, of course I can't forgive. I can forgive. If you don't withhold forgiveness, I can't withhold forgiveness because you're my life. And from that place in my heart. And Jesus' attitude of forgiveness flows always from the thing he did on the cross. Father, forgive them. What did he say? Strangest thing. For they know not what they're doing. And if you've heard me talk about this before, you've heard me say this. You see, because the disposition of Christ, from his compassion, Jesus looks at people and he says, they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. Now, does he want people to change what they have to work with? Change their mindset? Be transformed some so they can own stuff? Yes. But Jesus said, Father, they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with, so I can forgive them. And then pray that what they have to work with changes. And doesn't mean that there's not accountability. That's up to God to deal with them, to bring them to that place to see it. It's not my job, you see. And he says, forgive from the heart, because the consequences, if you don't, what does the Lord say? In the Old Testament, over and over again, God would let like people like the Moabites and, you know, the Canaanites and all kind of ites, he just sort of release them on Israel, and it was like God's love. It was his way of dealing with their hard heart. It was his way of awakening their heart and their passion for him and to be obedient to him and to be in union with his heart, his thought. And what are the torturers? It's demonic attack. The Lord just sort of pulls the hedge back and goes, okay. And I've never known anybody more tortured than somebody who carries long-term bitterness and unforgiveness. They have no joy in their life. They're cynical. They don't trust anymore. They've lost all childlike innocence. It comes out of this in their head all the time. It comes out of their conversation all the time. They find themselves being judgmental towards others. What is all that? It's torturers tormenting them. To what? To come to a place of repentance. When we come in union and from our hearts start forgiving. What's so sad is I've dealt with people before who were just determined that this, they're going to hang on their bitterness because that person deserves it. And this is my way of paying them back. And the only person who's winning again is the devil. All they're doing is drinking their own poison. And trying to poison them, they're drinking their own poison, and it's destroying them. And you want to just shake them and go, in 5 seconds, you could stop being miserable soul. You know, part of it comes out of protection. I don't want to ever get hurt again. And yet you're hurting yourself every day with that bitterness. Let it go. Say yes to Christ, who's saying in you, I love that person, and I forgive that person. Can you not forgive them if we're one? And at some point I have to say yes to you and allow that supernatural grace to come out of me that goes, oh, whew, Lord, we forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Heal them, Lord. Help them see it. And use me, God, to love them to the place of transformation. But they may hurt me again. Well, howdy doody. Welcome to the life of love. The life of Christ. that I might know him, the word there knows, experience him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. You will get rejected again, and you will get hurt again. But God will also use you to transform people's lives. Because love never fails. Forgiveness makes you a failure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.